Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Very good. We're going to be in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 will be our big base verse, and John chapter 16, okay? So if you kind of booktail those in your Bibles, we're also put it on for you, put it on the screens for you as well. I'm going ahead and turn it off for a minute. I'm telling you, this don't happen every day. This is a good series. Stuff like this. We're going to check it one more time. Check. 1, 2. And if I need to get loud, I get loud for Jesus, okay? If I just need to go mic-less. Thinking about that, those are the two base series that we're going to be in. And we'll be there in just a few moments. And then I have a lot of supporting verses. Is that okay? Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, just make sure everybody's alive this morning and well. I just want to pray for us just for a minute. We had a lot of things going on, and just want to pray and ask God to move during this time. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, we just praise you for who you are. God, thank you for what you've done in our lives. And I just pray over the next few moments that we can hear your word and hear your truth. God, we believe that the Spirit has so much power inside of our lives. And I pray that we'll be open to your calling, open to your truth. And I pray that the Scripture will reveal wisdom and truth to us today, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Something about the Holy Spirit. And even if you read the King James Version, it says the Holy Ghost, right? And we begin to read that, especially if you're first stepping into this religion, this Christianity, this relationship with Christ, and you read that and you begin to think and to ponder, going, okay, what does this really mean? And we're around Halloween, right? Like this spooky time, and you begin to think about spirits and ghosts and all these things, and I believe sometimes it can create a lot of questions, right? Well, what does the Holy Spirit do inside of our lives? What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? How do I live in relationship with the Holy Spirit? And how do I understand how to have His presence inside of my life? And how does the Holy Spirit interact with God? And how do those two work together? And how is the Holy Spirit still connected to God? And maybe all of these questions begin to swirl around a little bit. And we want to take the next 4 weeks and just define what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. And today, I want to give you this title, okay? Promises of presence. I want you to say that like four times fast. I'm just kidding. Promises of presence. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And I want us to understand this. And I thought, who better to go to learn more about the Holy Spirit than Jesus Himself? So in John chapter 14, He's got all of His disciples pulled together. And they're following Him and they're learning from Him. And this is later on in His ministry. And so they've seen Him do miracle after miracle and prove time and time again that He truly is the Son of God. And He's teaching His disciples. And then He drops this huge bombshell on him, and he goes, hey, I'm not going to be with you much longer. And I can imagine the disciples stepping back and going, what? You said come follow you, and now 2.5 or so years later, you're saying you're going to leave us? How are we going to navigate life? I feel like we just built this relationship. My wife and I have been Bluffetonians now. I just made that word up. Bluffetonians now for about 2 years, and now relationships are starting to have some really great substance, but we know that it takes years to build those, and so they just built this huge relationship with Jesus, and now he's saying, I'm going to leave you. And then he begins to assure them of some things that are going to happen here in the future. And he begins to teach them this here in John chapter 14. And he starts off and he says, I want you to have peace in me. In all of this, even though you know that I'm not going to be with you forever, I want you to have peace. And then he says, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, you can experience Christ through me. Which I think is kind of crazy because it's like he sets him up on the way, truth, and life. And then he goes, hey, I'm leaving. Like, follow me, but I'm leaving. But then he sits and then he goes and he begins to teach even further. And he says, hey, it is better that I go because somebody is coming after me. Not it, but somebody is coming after me to dwell with you. And this is so he begins to teach in John chapter 14, verse 15. You guys still with me? Very good. I'm going to ask a lot of questions today. Just make sure, you know, heat makes one go sleep. So just asking back and forth. Verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus teaches and he says, hey, if you love me, I will be in you and you will be in me. And then he says, hey, I will be in you to dwell in you. And he says, what's going to open this up is the advocate, a helper. Somebody else is going to come and play that role. And he's saying, it is better that I go, that we'll read in John 16 in just a second. But he's saying, it's better that I go because I am in the flesh. I wanted you to show you God. If I walk this earth and I came to pay for your sin and my sin, and for God to experience death, he had to take on the form of flesh, right? He had to take that form on so he could take our place on the cross. And he says, I am going to show you that I'm God, because on the third day I'm going to raise again and go back to heaven, but then you will receive the Holy Spirit and my presence will be with you. And he gives us the first, the promise there, and he says the presence of God is the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we talk about God, I felt like God speak to me, it's because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit opens up that doorway for us to live in the presence of God, because in the Old Testament, they would go into the temple, right? And they would have to go to different layers of the temple, and they had this place called Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go, and he had this huge ritual, huge cleansing process, because he had to be completely holy. And then they would tie a rope around his waist and he would crawl in like this all the way into the most holy of holies of the temple, because he was going to the presence of a holy God. And if he was not completely cleansed, he would drop dead in that moment. And the string and the bell on his string was that if they heard him stop moving, they would have to pull him back out. That's how holy God is. And we see the most holy of holies, and the priest would walk in there. And now God teaches us and says, hey, now you are my temple. You are the dwelling place of the holy God. And that is made promise and that is made true because of what Christ did on the cross. You and I are made righteous. We are made holy because of that. And now the temple has moved from that one spot, one location where the Spirit dwelled, to now dwelling inside each and every believer. That's why Jesus says you will do even greater things. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had to sit on one particular person or a couple different people at a particular time. But now he is saying, as a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. I want to show you this here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you heard it and believed in him, you were sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. God is saying, hey, at that moment you heard and you believe, you and I as believers received the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. If we needed some assurance, if we needed to know, hey, I have the Holy Spirit, it's in those moments we realize that through salvation we receive the Holy Spirit, and you and I have the promise of his presence inside of our life, that he promised that for you and I, that the Holy God says, hey, I dwell in you now as a believer in Christ. And so if we think about that, Jesus says something pretty powerful, then we're going to move on. He says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. I read that and said, wow. Like, even after he's gone, Jesus says, hey, if you love me, and you follow my commands, then I will show myself to you. I think about Moses. I don't know if you remember this story of Moses going back and he asked God, he's on a roll asking God all these questions, and he goes, "Hey God, can I see your face?" And God says, "Whoa, you can't see my face, because if you do, just like the priest in the Most Holy of Holies, you can't handle all that in your mortal body, earthly body." He's saying, "Hey, go hide behind that rock and I'll just let my backside pass from you." And then God passes by, he tells Moses to look. Moses looks and just sees the back tail of God, and his face glowed for days when he came down. And so you and I get to realize that Jesus is saying, if you love me and you live in my commands, I will show myself. And he is showing us this. He's saying, through the Holy Spirit, I will reveal my presence to you. And it's through living in my commands that we get this doorway opened up of living in the presence of God. You guys still with me? Very good. I'm rolling. We're going, right? We're feeling good in here. Cleansing process. Verse 16. But very truly, this continues, Jesus is teaching. If you get to go back and read chapter 14 and 15 and 16, I encourage you to do that this week. It's so much good stuff. It's an incredible one. John 15, Jesus is just teaching and pouring his heart out, so much spiritual truth. And then in verse 16, he comes back and he says, "Hey, I've taught you all of these things. I've talked about abiding in me in John chapter 15. And now in John chapter 16, I want to come back to the Holy Spirit and help make this clear for you so that you have assurance of my presence with you." And he says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that because the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Jesus continues to teach, and he said, again, "It's better that I go, because the Holy Spirit will dwell in you, and he will only say the truth. He will only say what comes from me." And so if you and I hear direction as the Holy Spirit works with our soul, works with our mind, and we receive from the presence of God direction from the Holy Spirit, we know that it only comes from God. And you see, all of this works together. The Holy Spirit wouldn't tell you something to do that goes against Scripture. God said, "This is my holy Scripture that I breathed out," and through the Holy Spirit told the disciples to write that. And he's saying only through the Holy Spirit they receive that from God. And you and I, in the presence of God, receive this incredible promise. Because his presence shows us wisdom, his presence shows us direction, and we get this incredible truth. He is saying, "Hey, I am walking with you in this moment." And Romans 8 explains his presence this way. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." There it is again. He's saying, all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, are the ones who follow Christ. And in fact, earlier in Romans chapter 8, he says, those who don't have the Spirit are not children of God. He gives us this thing that the Holy Spirit is the seal. And then verse 15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, that in him order that we may also be glorified with him." Wow. I was studying this and I printed out, if you guys are ever like in like studying a particular topic, there's a website, it'll pull you all the scriptures for one particular topic, and I printed them all out, the Holy Spirit, and I was just reading them all, and I'm walking in my living room like getting fired up. I'm like, "Ooh, this is good stuff," as the Holy Spirit is speaking. But Romans 8, he says, "For we are all led by the Spirit of God, and it's not a slavery to fall back into fear." He's saying through the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, it opens the doorway up for you and I to have an intimate relationship with the Most High God. And just if you're taking notes here, the Holy Spirit allows for an intimate relationship with God. And he says something here. He uses two forms of the word Father. He says Abba and Father. And if you look back to the Aramaic word of Abba, it actually depicts this incredibly intimate moment between a kid and their father. You and I would similarly say daddy. In our English language, in the Western world, we would say daddy. It's reserved for that intimate relationship between their son and the father, or the daughter and the father. And I just think about, there's moments and times when, because my kids are younger, we have a two-year-old, how old are my kids? Two-year-old, a five-year-old, a six-year-old, and an eight-year-old. And so they're sitting up, all of them still like to get up like at 3 a.m. Not at 11 while I'm still up, not at 6 when we get up, but at 3 a.m., right? And when they're still in their crib, they can't get out and open the door and come down and scare you half to death beside your bed, right? But they stand in the dark, and they're standing on the crib, and what do? Daddy, right? Daddy! Dad, like just at the top of their lungs, daddy, dad. They're not calling on, like, sometimes they'll call mama, right? Mama, just anybody in this house, right? They're trying to get the attention, but they know if they can call daddy, if they can call mama, they are the ones who I have a relationship with. They are the ones who walk with me in this, and I have a relationship with them. And as soon as that door opens, guess what? Daddy, right? Like, there he is. He's coming to get me. And you and I, Paul is teaching in Romans 8, and he says, you have that same relationship with God. That in the moments when we feel like we don't know what to do, in the darkness of our lives, in the trials, in the sorrow, in the hurt, he is saying, you and I have the kind of relationship because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We can call out, Daddy, I need you right now. Daddy, right now, this is a crazy time for me, and I just need your strength. Daddy, right now, I need your presence. And it's so good. We may get into this later, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit will even pray on our behalf. That sometimes we don't even know what to say and even grumble together. The Holy Spirit is working in us and connecting to God at the same time. And he is saying, I know my son. I know what he needs. And while you're praying, while you're hurting, I'm connecting you with the Holy God. And you get to walk in that intimate relationship. And he is saying, hey, where the Spirit of God is not the spirit of fear, but yet the spirit of freedom. And he continues here, and then I promise we're going to close. We're getting close to my 20-minute mark, right? My timekeepers? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You guys still with me?
Yes.
Very good. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I think there's a almost an underlying, hidden, amazing truth in here. Because if you ever heard of the word the Trinity, right? That we have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three God, yet all three separate. God the Father, who was our Creator. And in Genesis, we read that Jesus was there in the beginning. And we read in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit hovered above the earth. That the Spirit was there for all of, not even in the realm of time, but has always always been there with God. And it shows us this aspect that the Holy Spirit is God, but yet separate and has His role in New Testament believers to dwell in them, to keep our intimate relationship with God and to help us experience this. And then He says something that for me, I almost like hopped up out of my chair because it encouraged me so much just to see this. And it says, "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And He uses almost synonymously, right? Like He almost just unplugged the Spirit and then put in freedom. And He was teaching, He was saying, hey, that where the Spirit is, guess who's holding the Spirit's hand? Walking up into our lives, right? Guess who's walking up like that friend you didn't invite, but yet he's still on the way. Like, if the Spirit comes, so does freedom. Hand in hand, walking together. And we've already seen the promise of the presence of God in our lives as believers in Christ. And when the Spirit came, guess who's there with us in our life? Freedom. And I believe that God wants you and I to live in daily freedom. That's why Romans chapter 8 is so powerful. And He starts off and He says, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. He says, don't fall back into slavery of fear and condemnation and guilt. But know, because you have the Holy Spirit, you have freedom. And He says, there is promise in My presence. And it becomes even layered to saying, because of My presence, you now have freedom in Christ. And you can walk and live in that freedom because not of who we are, but because I've given my life to Christ. And now the Holy Spirit dwells in me and gives me freedom. And we experience this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to end with this. Because a lot of times, I know we even outsiders, maybe as we first come to know Christ, they may look at Christians and look at their lives and go, well, the Bible is just a long, huge set of rules. God's just trying to, it's a man-made thing caused to control people. I don't know if you've heard that before. These arguments against Christianity and all these things right here. And from the outside looking in, we just read in John chapter 16 that the world has not seen yet, right? They are not revealed to the truth of God. And yet in us, through Christ, we reveal what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. See, back in the day, you guys may not know, but I used to play football. And the position I played is quarterback. Does everybody know what position quarterback is? Yeah. Okay. The guy who's under the center said, hut, he gets the ball and he has to hand off. He has to pass it. Right. And so as the quarterback, Mike Potts, is he in here? No, he's hanging out. Yeah. Mike Potts, he played quarterback too. Just a little fun fact. But as you play quarterback, you drop back, right? And if the game is done correctly, and if the quarterback has the freedom to do what he is supposed to do, guess who is there? Those big, strong, slow offensive linemen, right? Like they're boom, they're back up and they're blocking the defenders. They're keeping them off of the quarterback because if they just said, you know what, I don't really like you, go ahead, right? Like with a quarterback, would he be free? No. He would be locked up in this battle. He'd be worried. He'd be threatened. He'd be fearful. All these different things. And God is saying, hey, I place those not even restrictions, but the way I created you. I'm giving you a roadmap of how your mind is wired, how your heart is wired, and how you want to live in relation on earth. And He is saying that it may look like I'm blocking certain things, but I'm protecting you so that you can live in freedom, so that you can live the way that you were created to live, freedom in Christ, free in Christ, so that we can use our gifts and talents to live on purpose for who God is. And He's saying that is how the Holy Spirit works and continues to hold freedom in our lives. And it may not be fun at first because that old relationship may come back, right? Come walking up, hey Daniel, right? Like whispering in your ear, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and going, that's not for you. That relationship doesn't reflect what God says about relationship. And you feel like it's almost restrained in that moment, like, oh. But then if we submit to the Holy Spirit's power, He's saying, no, I'm trying to help you live in freedom. The Holy Spirit may whisper in our ear and press on our heart, don't take that job. Look, I know it's more money, but don't take that job. I'm thinking about your freedom right here in this moment. And it may feel like, oh, well, I don't know, this direction, this back and forth, this conviction of righteousness now that I have this relationship with God. But he's saying, I want to set you free. And I want to help you learn the presence of God. And so next week, we're going to be talking about the power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to get practical with it and say, how do we live by the Spirit as we finish out this series? But today, God just impressed on my heart that there are too many of us walking in relationship with Christ in bondage. Because we have allowed things to come into our life, and all the while you and I have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit who wants to set us free. And it takes, all it takes is you and I going, you know what? My plan's not the best, God. May it be your plan, and I'm going to walk by your commands. I'm going to walk by your ways so that I can live in freedom. And so I want you to today, while it's 85 degrees in the room, be set free by Christ. And that maybe there was something today who wanted to distract you so you wouldn't walk outside these doors at 11 o'clock on Sunday on 10:27 saying, hey, I am free in Christ. I have given that over to him. Or maybe you're saying, I've never given my life to Christ, but yet I'm living in bondage. I'm living in sin, and it's wrecking me. It's wrecking my mind. It's wrecking my relationships. I realize it now, and I need Jesus to set me free. I want you to walk out of this place free today, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as I pray today, I'm going to pray a twofold prayer. One, if you've never given your life to Christ, that you would say, hey, I want to give my life to him today. Or maybe you already are a follower of Christ. But I want to pray for us that you and I would have the boldness and willingness to say, you know what, God? I want to live for your plan. God, show me my next step in your commands so that I can live free in Christ. And so let's pray together. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we're praying today. If you've never given your life to Christ before, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And so I want to say this prayer with you. You can say it with me. You can say it aloud. You can say it in your heart. And there's nothing special about the prayer, but it's the profession of and repentance of our heart saying, God, I'm sinful and I need you to change my life. And I believe that you have the power to do so. And just say a prayer or something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know that I'm living in sin. God, and I give my life to you. I ask that you would save me and change me forever. God, I pray that you would work through the Holy Spirit inside of my life to be more like you. And so while our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm just count to three. One, two, three. Just shoot your hand up and say, Daniel, because I want to pray for you and pray with you over this. Just shoot your hand up. I see your hand. Just because I want to pray with you. One last time. One, two, three. Shoot your hand up. Say, hey, I prayed this prayer just because I want to continue to walk with you in this. Now, as we pray together as a church, dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would reveal maybe what is holding us in bondage inside of our lives right now, God. God, I pray that we'd be willing to surrender that to you. I pray that we walk out of this place not holding on to fear, but holding on to freedom because of your presence inside of our lives, God. May we remember that you are our daddy. You are our father, a holy God who dwells in us, God. And that no matter where we go, no matter what situation we walk into, God, you walk with us. And that we have a promise of your presence inside of our lives, God. May we remember as we step one foot into our office tomorrow that the Holy Spirit walks with us. As we walk into our families, God, we may remember that you walk with us, God, that freedom walks with us hand in hand. And I pray we hold on to that truth, God, and live into that. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Let's stand.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.